Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, hour 3 live. Show's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. You know, Joy, yesterday I went hung out with some friends, and I was talking to my friend, and he's in the movie, not a famous person, but he's one of my friends that's been in L.A. forever and knows a lot about TV and movies and all that stuff, and he's been in that business. And I asked him, I said, how much Olympics have you watched? And he said, zero. And I'm like, wow. And I didn't watch much. And, you know, everybody these days wants to make everything political. And it doesn't have anything to do with politics for either of us. It's not political.
What's political about the Olympics?
Oh, I mean, Megan Rapinoe. And it's like, oh, folks, that's not why people aren't watching. Number one, if you look at the Olympics that have really popped in the last 20 years, Sydney, Australia, and Barcelona. Why? Because the cities are beautiful. And you're watching it. It's like National Geographic, the magazine when I was a kid, you know, the magazine.
Yeah, you're seeing different parts. I feel like Rio got a lot of buzz,
yeah,
too.
They're beautiful cities visually.
Yeah.
I remember the Barcelona Olympics. It was literally the sunsets at night and the divers and the sunsets. It was so visually stimulating. Well, what is television? You watch it. So Tokyo, the Olympics I watched, we never saw the city. They didn't talk about it. Aesthetically, it just wasn't as appealing.
Well, also with COVID, there were no fans. So there was you didn't feel that energy and juice that you usually feel track. The stadium is usually filled.
And this is a prime example. So the ratings were terrible. But remember, we watch football because we love football. Fans make it better.
Right.
But I still watch the games. We watched the Olympics because of the pageantry and the juice. It didn't have any.
And the urgency.
Yeah.
And also the times were it was impossible to know when everything was going on.
I don't think the Olympics are dead. I don't think it's nearly as good a business as the World Cup going forward for a lot of different reasons. But I mean, the reality with the Olympics is when you're off different time zones, there's no fans. You really have to, you know, promote the Sydney and Rio, and certain cities are just, there's a sex appeal to Rio. There's a sex appeal to Sydney. And I can remember watching those Olympics and it was like, am I watching for the sport or am I watching?
Yeah, you feel like you're experiencing something else.
There's no question. And so when I watch stuff, they really didn't show the city much. The arenas didn't have any juice. It's nothing against NBC. It's not about politics.
They still made $1 billion. So.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
A billion. So NBC made $1 billion.
I believe they, I'm almost positive I read that this morning, that it was like $1 billion that they built. Okay.
They did fine.
They did fine, yeah. I mean, look, I didn't even see anything about it being political. What's political about the Olympics?
But I mean, why didn't you watch it?
I did watch what I could when I knew stuff was on when I was awake.
Did you feel emotionally as connected to Tokyo as, say, Rio or Barcelona?
No.
I didn't either.
No, but it was also, the times were impossible to keep track of. Like, the events that I was watching, I was also in Italy last week, so, like, there was
right.
as well. But even when I was here, like, the games I was planning on watching, women's basketball, men's basketball, like, I made it a point to do it, but I am not a casual fan.
Right.
So, yes. Like, also, can people just stop overreacting to TV ratings, please? You guys don't understand TV ratings. Stop it.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated business. Networks pay millions of dollars to break it down. Like, just calm down. The Olympics are going to be fine.
Yes, they are. By the way, quarterbacks now making a lot of money. We're going to play pay or play. What young quarterbacks would I pay? And what other quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, do I still want to see them play? We'll pay. Play that before the end of the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
David Ortiz is putting his money on the line on the FoxBet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code below, download the app, and enter the Field of Dreams contest for a chance to win $10,000 of Big Poppy's money.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card into the first year automatically. Get used to hearing yes. Go to discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. There are the NBA Summer League has started. It's going to be very, very interesting. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, the player from USC, who they think is the next Chris Bosh. The top of the NBA draft is really good. And these guys will play as rookies, and some will play a lot and have some early influence in the NBA. And there's a lot of stuff going on. Rick Bucher now joining us live, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Let's talk Luka Doncic. First of all, he got paid. He got his money. Deserves every penny of it. Good Lord, he took Slovenia, made him viable in the Olympics. Your takeaway on the extension, anything beyond the obvious?
Just that obviously it's a no-brainer to re-up him and to build around him. But there seems to be this push to make him the face of the league and the superstar, the next superstar, as quickly as we can. It began last year already, beginning of the year. Came into the season as the favorite to be the MVP. And the reality is that he has the game and the personality and the skill set to potentially fill that role at some point. But he has to have the team as well. And the Dallas Mavericks are not there yet as far as a team that he's capable of taking anywhere significant. It reminds me a little bit of when LeBron was in Cleveland. Yes, had the game, had obviously the leadership and everything that you would want from the individual. But until the Cleveland Cavaliers were capable of getting to the finals, it wasn't going to happen. So it's one of those things that I think it just has to happen organically. And now you have a brand new GM in Nico Harrison, who I expect will do well, but doesn't have a championship pedigree, doesn't have a GM pedigree. They still have a lot of work to do before they build the car that Luka is capable of driving to being the face of the entire NBA.
All right, let's talk Lakers here. We got Carmelo talking. We're getting the band together, and Westbrook's talking today. And, you know, I put up a graphic earlier that was funny. I thought it was funny. We went back to LeBron James' first game as a Laker, and we looked at the entire Laker organization.
Yeah.
Rondo, Ingram, McGee, Kuzma, Hart, KCP, Ball, Lance, Stevenson, Beasley, they're all gone. Luke Walton, the coach, is gone. Magic Johnson, who recruited him in the wee hours of the morning, is gone. And I said, it's the reality with LeBron is the future means nothing. The present means everything. And Pat Riley got very uncomfortable with that it's just all now and nothing matters. Do you think, I think they got too old. I think right now there's a difference between veterans and antiques. What do you make of the current roster?
I agree with you. And this is what LeBron does. He cannibalizes every franchise that he goes to. And franchises are willing to do it because, let's face it, his track record of if you do what I need you to do, I can win you a championship. I mean, he's come through, so it's hard to argue with that. But what you're left with in the aftermath, you better be ready for that as well. And that's where they are. This is what I was having a conversation with an agent yesterday about this, the new dynamic in the league, which is it used to be that GMs and agents would create teams. They would place players in various places and construct rosters. And now it's players who do it. It's conversations with players that lead that. And that's where it's initiated. And then the player that wants to go someplace goes to his agent and says, get me there. And the player or the star on a particular team that's looking to add somebody goes to the GM and says, get that guy. That's what LeBron is doing, as he has done before.
Yep.
But he's doing it with his group. Like, he's doing it with his generation. And these are the guys that still look at that and say, oh, LeBron wants me to play with him. I'm willing to go there and play with him. The other element here that is so distinctive is, in the past, whenever I've asked GMs or scouts or executives around the league, what do you think about what has been concocted around LeBron? Their general response was, he'll figure it out.
Right.
I'm not hearing that this time around.
Yeah.
I think what is missed is LeBron just isn't the same guy.
Right.
So he needs somebody to take over. The expectation was that Anthony Davis was going to do that last year. It would have, that's the perfect time for him to succeed LeBron in the same way LeBron succeeded Dwayne Wade in Miami. For whatever reason, AD chose not to accept that mantle or to take those reins. And now, if you're asking him to do it with personalities like Carmelo Anthony and Russ Westbrook, good luck. The time was last year to make that transition, largely because LeBron James, it's not an insult in any way. He's going to be 37 years old. I mean, right. At some point, you can't be the guy that leads the parade. And what we're seeing is he needs that help. And if this was a group, you know, people are making comparisons to ages and whatnot. It's not just age. It's age and the fact that they've never played together before.
That's right.
So can you put this all together in 1 year? That's going to be very challenging.
Finally, it's interesting. So generally, if stuff leaks, a team will leak information because it's good for the team. Or they'll test the media and see what the fans think of stuff. When I used to live out in Connecticut, New York Sports Radio, you could tell the Mets or the Jets would leak something to the media just to see the reaction, how it would play. You could clearly see the little brother, the big brother, the Yankees, Giants didn't care, but the little brother did that all the time to curry some media favor and fan favor. So a story leaked out about Ben Simmons that basically he's cut off communication with the Sixers. And Daryl Morey doesn't want that because now the Sixers are like, they got to get rid of him. This kid is done. And I saw that story. I'm like, that's not good for Philadelphia, Doc Rivers. That's not good for them. Where do we stand? And by the way, Morey wants a lottery pick. He wants an all-star. It's like, well, good luck getting it now. We watched the playoff disaster. What is your prediction today? If I said, Rick, you know they're going to move him. What are they going to get for him? What are they going to get for him?
I would expect that they will get a young player or two and potentially a pick. Now, the difficulty is that's not where Philadelphia is. They're in go for it now.
That's right.
They want a legitimate star that they're capable of getting. I don't see a deal to be made for a star that is going to get him there. I mean, they're saying we wouldn't want C.J. McCollum. We'd want Damian Lillard. Honestly, I don't know that the Trailblazers would trade either one of those guys for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is looked at as a great talent, but you're going to have to send him. My expectation is you're either going to have to take pennies on the dollar or you're going to have to send him to a rebuilding team that says, you know what, we can find some magic in him. Speaking of Markelle Fultz, I mean, Orlando has been the place where they send all the Philadelphia guys who haven't worked out. But it's going to more than likely be a team like that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to try to accept it as you're getting a star in the making back as opposed to a bona fide guy.
Yeah.
There's no way that they can bring him into training camp. And I understand why it hasn't happened yet because ideally, it wasn't going to involve draft picks anyway. But yes, they're up against it. They've been up against it since they basically made him. They put him in the dunker spot. They had him bring the ball up, and then they Doc Rivers took him out of the equation when it came to how they played in the playoffs. And so everybody at that point knew that they were going to have to make a move. And now they're up against it. And Daryl Morey has surprised me before in terms of what he's been able to get when he's had to move a player. But this might be his biggest challenge that he's faced so far.
Good stuff. Senior writer Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA, covering the league since 93. Good seeing you, bud, on a Tuesday.
Same, Colin.
Yeah. When that story leaked, Ben Simmons is cut off communication, my initial reaction is, oh, that's bad for Philadelphia. Because like Rick said, you can't bring him to camp now. Like, he's done. You think Michael Thomas has a little friction with the Saints. Like, Ben Simmons is done. Not only is he done, but we saw that we watched it. And that goes back to something I've said this time and time again. When it goes bad, get guys out of town. Philadelphia, for a year or two, has known Embiid, Simmons don't work. And try to make it work and try to make... Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Don't get greedy. Get them out of town and get a pick and a decent player. But I don't know about the other sports, but in the NBA, Anytime you get stubborn or you don't move an unhappy player, you lose all your leverage as a team. Because these players now, they're making social media money, shoe money, NBA money, commercial money. They can throw a fit. They'll go. Play, you got to be careful now. Players now can just go to social media. They don't need me. They control their own stories. So if they're unhappy, call GMs and move the player. Players have never had greater opportunities to not only use the media to get the story out, just go to their IG. Just go to their Instagram page. It's got 14 million followers. So Philadelphia is here for a reason. Stop trying to pretend indifference works. He's indifferent. Get him out of town. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Fit matters also. I mean, obviously, you want to have the most amount of stars as you can, but that's why the Luka thing is interesting. Don't try and just go gobble up talent. Like, build an organization
fit
around what fits what Luka does.
Yeah, Porzingis struggles to get along with Luka. We know who you're keeping. Rudy Gobert and Mitchell, there have been issues. Like that, Rudy Gobert's got value, but the truth is, what Utah needs is not necessarily just a rim protector. They need another scorer. Like another, they got Bogdanovich and Mitchell. Like they need another athlete in the wing to score. Like a Paul George level guy if you want to be a championship contender.
Fit still matters. So reports out of Bengals training camp have consistently said that Joe Burrow doesn't look as good as he did during his rookie season. Hmm. He's coming back from a major ACL surgery. And he says his struggles aren't because of his knee, but it's about getting his mind right.
I would say right now it's a mental thing that I'm just, you know, getting back used to playing football again against top level competition. I can guarantee my expectations of myself and everyone around me are higher than anybody else's. So, you know, when I hear everything, it doesn't really, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. It's when we get closer to game one, if this is still happening, then, you know, the panic button will start off. But right now there's no panic button going on. Just got to get the reps back.
By the way, he looks thicker. This was one of my knocks last year. He looked thin. Look at that picture of Joe Burrow in the neck. Remember I said that about Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like skinny quarterbacks. Like, Burrow looks thicker. Now, I could be totally wrong here.
Well, they grow into a man body. Your body changes a lot.
Look at Joe Burrow now.
Early
he
20s.
Looks broader.
Mm-hmm.
People make fun of me for this. Trunky, thicker. He's never going to be super trunky, but when you watch him talk there, it reminds me of Lamar's second year. Traps are bigger.
Well, you're working with different trainers. You're eating different food.
Am I wrong?
No.
Can this be verified?
And you also,
Cincinnati Inquirer, get on it.
Measure
he looks
Joe
thicker.
Burrow's neck. You know, I think it's interesting that he came out and said that it's a mental thing, because we have talked a lot over the past few months about, you know, mental health and the mental side of sports. And obviously it was a huge discussion during the Olympics with Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka. And, you know, you have a bunch of, people with their opinions about how much this really matters. And generally those people have not accomplished anything great or remotely so in their life. So that's what their opinion is. If you pay attention to who is strongly backing these athletes, it's generally other people who have accomplished great things, because it takes a lot out of you to do that. And when you have a major injury, you have a major setback in your career.
It screws with your head.
It does. And especially if it's your body and you know that what could happen if you get injured again, the time away, the training, the rehab, the everything that you have to do to come back to be what you were and then be better because of the expectations, it's a lot.
Of course. And you know, it's guys with breadcrumbs on your shirt, stop questioning great athletes' motivation and mentals.
Yes.
Like, stop.
I saw a study on Twitter today. 40% of Americans think that if they got into it, they could become an Olympic athlete. And like the next 4 years, it's so funny. Like, it's so funny. I have to find it. Hold on. It's amazing. It's amazingly dumb. Like, what are you talking about?
Listen, it's so funny. A prime example, I'm a fairly athletic person, not a great athlete, but fairly athletic.
Yeah.
You know, your typical high school quarterback, high school basketball player athlete who works out every day. When I went to Wimbledon a few years ago, Wimbledon's one of those sporting events where you could sit down next to the athlete. next to the athlete. So I played doubles tennis last night. Bunch of old guys. Okay. That's my lane. So I go to Wimbledon. My other company took me to Wimbledon. And I sit down, not at center court, on one of the side courts. They have like 30 of them. You cannot believe how in the heck anybody ever returns a serve.
Yeah.
Literally 129 mile an hour serve. And you're watching tennis players sit there and just go flick. And you're like, I can't see it. How? When these baseball players now can hit, everybody throws 98 with movement. Does everybody understand how great of a tennis player, skier, golfer you have to be a pro athlete?
No, they don't. They in fact do not. It is very obvious that they in fact do not have any mortal idea what it takes to become a professional athlete of any level or an Olympian. It's really actually laughable. But the point is, give Joe Burrow a little time. He'll be back. Saquon Barkley is returning to practice Monday for the first time since tearing his ACL in week 2 of last season. He participated in individual drills and teaching sessions without any issues. He said he's hopeful that he'll be ready for the season opener next month. The Giants are taking it slow, obviously, with his return and monitoring him closely. This is really good news for the Giants. I maintain Saquon Barkley is the engine of this team. Like, he is the face of this team. Obviously, you want to see what Daniel Jones grow into that role. But right now, Saquon is a certified star for that team, and he is extremely valuable. So having him out there is going to be huge, especially because herd rule, we're going to evaluate Daniel Jones at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So having Saquon Barkley out there healthy will be big. And they've added a lot of pieces offensively. So
their speed is no longer their issue. Their issue is the only part of their team I don't like is the offensive line.
Well, yeah.
That's their issue. But the Giants have, perimeter-wise, they went and got Golladay with Slayton. I think they got Adoree Jackson as a slot corner. So, like,
Kyle Rudolph, Devontae Booker.
Yeah, they got enough guys that can run and catch the football.
So Kyle Shanahan has maintained that Jimmy Garoppolo is the Niners' starting quarterback, despite Trey Lance's strong performance in camp so far. But he did admit that Lance is going to get on the field this season.
Trey's going to play for us this year. I mean, whether it's, I know you guys are running into Twitter on that, but like, I mean, that is situationally, he's going to get plays. Like, that doesn't mean that he's going to go be a starter or anything. He's going to get plays, and you got to prepare him for that every way possible.
I think this is a great situation for the Niners. I'm glad that he said that, because he just kind of pushed that whole narrative out of the window. Like, he is going to see the field this season. Jimmy Garoppolo is aware he's not the future of the 49ers. If he's not, he's delusional. They gave away 3 draft picks to move up and get Trey Lance. He's the future. And they're 2 opposite style of quarterbacks. So this is the best way to get Trey Lance, who's extremely raw, who hasn't played only 1 game in a year and a half, on the field, get him some live reps against NFL competition, and see what you have in him while letting Jimmy G be the leader of the team. I think this is the best scenario, and he came out and just, we're not having a quarterback competition right now, but Trey Lance is going to see the field.
Yeah. And by the way, Niners, Bears preseason games, can't wait. Real preseason games, you got to see at least the first half of those guys playing. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Pay or play, who would I give the bag to for the young quarterbacks? And who do I need to see more? That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
QuickBooks by Oracle. NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system. Go to netsuite.com/herd, netsuite.com/herd. More control, more visibility over your commerce, HR, business. All right, we're going to pay or play. Of all the young quarterbacks in the league, if I ran the franchise, would I be working on a contract, get a little bit of a break, or I want to see more? Because you can pay early, like Mahomes, you get a little bit of a break. It does matter. Now, you may not feel it for 2 years, but in about 2 to 3 years, you're paying a guy less than market value.
Yes.
So I'm the GM. Would I be working on paying him, or I want to see him play more? Here we go.
Kyler Murray.
I would pay him. Here's why. In the toughest division in the NFL, with a coach who's the fourth best coach in his division, he made massive leaps year one to year two. We don't even know if he has a good coach. It's the toughest division. By the way, he averaged 331 yards per game, running and throwing. Second most in the NFL before he got hurt. So when you can be in that division with those coaches and those rosters, and I don't even think you have the right coach, and you get significantly better, I'm talking to his agent, and in the next year, we got a deal.
How about Lamar Jackson?
You pay him. Okay, we all know he was MVP. We all know he wins 80% of his games. I've said that multiple times. Here's the other thing that matters. He's 10-5 against winning teams. This is a thing. Okay, he can't beat Patrick Mahomes. Outside of Brady, nobody can.
Right.
Do you beat elite teams? Because anybody can beat up on the Bengals. No, 15 times he's played winning teams. He's won 10. And if you take, I think, Kansas City and Mahomes out, he's like 10-3 against winning teams. He plays well against good teams and wins those games.
Sam Darnold.
Play. Listen, his statistical categories all went down. I'm going to give him a year with this coach and this roster. By the way, this offensive roster is way better than people think. They are really good at receiver, two home run hitting backs. I think they've solved their left tackle issue. They're good at right tackle. So I need to see Sam play. Now, I think he's going to have a good year. But I got to see it. He regressed badly. Now, for the record, no quarterback has played with fewer Pro Bowlers than Sam Darnold since he entered the league 3 years ago. So we know it wasn't all Sam, but I got to see more.
Joe Burrow.
Got to play more. Listen, that was a bad injury. MCL tear, ACL tear, and now there are reports he's not playing with a ton of confidence. I think he's the guy. But I gotta need another 12, 15 starts and see how he deals with that injury coming off it.
Baker Mayfield.
Close, but I'd say I'll play a little bit more. No quarterback in the NFL has thrown more interceptions than Baker Mayfield since he was drafted. I don't love his judgment. I've said before, I think he lacks maturity. It's never been about his talent. Never. His interceptions, there's a connection to his lack of judgment off the field. A little too cocky for my taste. But excellent O-line. He's got leverage because Cleveland's not getting rid of a quarterback that goes to the playoffs back-to-back years, and Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. Should. So I need to see him play more. I want to see how he handles success. Give me till Thanksgiving and all of a sense of, did Baker in good shape? Is he a grown-up? Can he handle success? My guess, though, 80 to 20%. They're going to pay him.
Drew Lock.
Play more. I don't buy it. He just throws a ton of picks. I don't like his judgment. It's like Baker Mayfield, but without the roster and without the talent. I've always thought his talent's overstated. He's got a wicked arm. That you can't deny that. That kick, he's a little, reminds me of Jay Cutler. He kind of seems indifferent. And Cutler, who was a super talent, just never clicked. I think you're looking at a less talented Jay Cutler, and that to me is a... I'll give you another 12 games, but I'll be honest with you. I'd give him about 8. I mean, I'd give 8 or 9 games. You don't know that Deshaun Watson situation? I mean, I'd give him about 8 or 9 games, and if I'm Vic Fangio, if I'm the GM, I don't have any interest watching the Chargers and the Chiefs dominate this division for the next 10 years. I'd be on it.
Speaking of the Chargers, Justin Herbert.
Just pay him. Does everybody understand what he did last year? He set every rookie quarterback record ever with the worst-rated offensive line in the league. That is impossible. You're throwing 30 touchdown passes behind the worst offensive. Ask Daniel Jones what it's like to play behind a bad offensive line. So I'd pay him now. I'd be on the phone with his agent now.
And Daniel Jones?
Got to play more. He's got a turnover issue. Joy, he's fumbled 29 times in 27 career starts. Now, does not have a great offensive line.
Right.
But let's juxtapose that to Herbert, who was unbelievable right out of college. Now, we're with Daniel Jones now, we're getting to a point like You start watching September and October, and if he can't solve this turnover issue, it's time to get on the phone. I mean, he's 0-8, by the way. 0-8, Joy, against winning teams. It's the opposite of Lamar.
Yeah.
Against the better teams, never beaten a winning record team.
Finally, Tua.
Play. Okay. 34 to 35 qualified quarterbacks in yards per game. Where's the there? At some point, you can't have a perfect team for him to succeed. That's not the NFL, right? This is not a movie script where you keep working on the script. Your quarterback has to be able to win when your defense isn't great, your special teams, your coaching. Now, they've gotten him a ton of perimeter talent, and my guess is this is probably a fairly successful year for the Dolphins, but I want to see – I've said the date, Thanksgiving. Then we're going to start having conversations upstairs. Great to have Joy back. Ryan, the crew, we're like the Lakers. We're getting the band together. The Herd.